Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we have two readings. The first is from Deuteronomy 18, 14 through 22. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise you up for a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of your assembly, when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, 'How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord?' If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. To do so do not be alarmed." Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to continue our series of message on the gifts and callings. And as we mentioned before, the gifts that God gives that we're going to be talking about are ministry gifts. They're what often we do call callings. Someone is called into ministry, called to do something. But actually, it's not a calling like, I get this, it's mine. It's actually mine to give. I'm supposed to be giving myself. And that's the reason I hit this every time I'm talking about this is because we never want to look at someone who says or is a prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, and say they are something special because of that gift. No, they're a gift to be given. The person who's doing the giving is God. Now, there are people out there who take on the role and say, I am the leader, I'm the apostle, I'm the prophet, I'm, you know, the district superintendent, I'm the presiding elder, you need to listen to me. No, that's the wrong attitude. The attitude is when you have a role in the church, it is to be a gift you're giving to others. And every time you go into deeper into ministry, you are actually supposed to be taking a step down and becoming a greater servant. And sometimes that seems like, well, why would I want to do that? Because there's a reward in giving. Yes, sometimes it's hard. Anybody who goes into, not speaking of ministry, but speaking of a different calling that I think is a calling, the medical field. You talk to a nurse, they'll say some of the most wonderful things they enjoy doing is giving and helping people. And they'll also turn around and say some of the worst things they've ever had is dealing and helping other people. It's one of those things that give and take to it. And yes, it can be hard, but it also can be so rewarding. And so we all have gifts that we are given to help the body of Christ, to help one another in the church. And though right now we're looking at some of what's called the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher, and a few others that we're talking about during this time, I want us to remind us that we all have places to fill in. And sometimes we are called to fill those roles, not for an extended period of time, for maybe just a short period of time. You remember I talked about the prophet Amos. He came along, he had one short message. That was it. He said, I'm a farmer. By the way, a side note here, a lot of times people who are truly in ministry, they're not looking for the title. And especially for someone who's like a prophet, which we're going to be talking about today, they don't come along and say, I'm the prophet, you need to be listening to me. No, they're just coming to deliver the message that God's given them. As we look at the prophet, the one who is, in a sense, is there to help connect people to God, is to restore someone's relationship to God. God told the Israelites in the scripture we read, don't be like the other nations. The other nations, when they're not sure what's going on, they go to a seer or someone to tell them what to do. They're looking in the stars or the charts to try to find direction. But God says, don't be like that. One of the reasons I would say he said don't be like that, because it's easy to be deceived. You know, my horoscope says I need not to do this today. Really? Is this really what you should be listening to? Or should be listening to, something simple like what I would call common sense. It's raining outside, you probably should take an umbrella. Sometimes there are things, especially comes to direction in our life, we don't need a special voice from God. We just need to follow what we know is right. For everybody who's younger here today, what do you know? What are one of the things you know is right? You probably should go to school, right? Yeah. You know, I don't say you have to like it, but you probably should go to school. Those who are adults, you probably should try to, if you're able, get a job, make a living, and take care of yourself. Maybe wash regularly. These are kind of things we kind of all should know. We don't need a voice from God. And even sometimes when it comes to things greater in our life, should I be doing this? Should I marry this person? Should I date this person? Well, ask yourself, what does the Bible teach about this thing? Well, the Bible says that let's use the dating thing for example, I should date somebody who's seeking God, who loves God. And what's this person like? Well, they're a heathen. You don't need a voice from God on this. You got the answer already if you're willing to listen. And God gave a lot of direction in his word so we would know what way to go. And he says, when you need someone, I will send them. I will send them. And I was thinking about prophets, especially in the Bible. Prophets are a lot like doctors. They see what others miss. And also, like doctors, they're not always listened to. I mean, everyone in here has always done what your doctor said, right? I don't have any liars here today. How good. Well, you might. Some of these older ones, I know better. I'll tell you what, I haven't always done what the doctor says. Doctor says, you need to eat more green leafy vegetables. Sure, doc. I'll get right on that. And then I have to leave and say, God, I lied to my doctor. I have gotten better in recent years. I've just told him, you know what, I'm not going to do that. Which always made him feel good. The thing about prophets, though, is one of the things you can tell about them when they're true prophets, they're truthful. That's one of the things. If they're lying, then you know they're not a true prophet. Oftentimes when you see the prophet, is they're poetic or dramatic. They're doing something to sort of grab your attention. So they're communicating their message well. They're observant. They see sometimes what we miss. And as I mentioned before, typically they don't come along to proclaim themselves as prophets. They have an air of humility. They have an air of saying, I'm here to help. And the prophet's news is sometimes good. Sometimes the prophet's news is not so good. The prophet came along and told Israel, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to end up in slavery. And they didn't listen, and guess what? That's what happened. But when God sent a prophet, it was an act of mercy. Just like a doctor. A doctor doesn't say, you know what? You have an illness and you need to deal with it. He doesn't come along and say, you have cancer, because he enjoys telling you that. He's telling you that because he's trying to find the right answer to help you. And sometimes we don't like the answers. We don't like it. But they give us these answers not as an act of cruelty, but an act of generosity, an act of mercy. And God, when he sends prophets, when he sends people to give us a message, it's an act of mercy. Now, we need to be careful because there are a lot of people who claim to be prophets out there, but they're not prophets, they're false prophets. And I've got a few reasons you can tell they're false prophets. First of all is they seek profit. I like the irony of that together there. I've heard a number of people, as many of you know, I grew up charismatic and they're really big into gifts and people having these powers. Now, I believe God does give people power to do things and to do things miraculously. I've seen it. I've actually participated in it when I've seen God do some mighty things. And I've also seen God say, nothing. When I know where I already knew the answers. I was kind of just like, I hope none of you are like this. Like the mountain climber who climbed up the mountain. He slipped and all of a sudden he managed to just barely grab the edge of the rope. He says, someone, God, hands, help me, help me. And the voice of God, by the way, this is a fictional story. The voice of God answered and said, I'm here. And the guy said, if you'll save me, I'll do anything. You know, I'll even go to church at that Selma place. You know? And he said, God, just tell me what to do. And God said, okay, let go of the rope. Hey, God, is there someone else I can talk to? Sometimes we're like that. I hope not. But sometimes we get like that. It's like God has given us a clear answer in his word. Or maybe he sent someone to help us. But we don't like it. So it's like, is there someone else I can talk to? Maybe there's somebody back here. I don't know. Yeah, I'm looking. Can you give me $1 million today? I want it for myself. No, not happening. But false prophets, they seek profit. They seek to promise you something for some sort of reward. Watch out. And they claim to have special knowledge that no one else has. By the way, I've noticed, as someone who's studied church history, some of these special new revelations that people seem to have are old things that the church has dealt with centuries ago. I'm always amazed how we've found out. No, the church heard that junk decades, centuries ago, even millennia ago, and we dealt with it. And you want to come along and say it's a new thing. But some prophet is saying, hey, this is new. Now watch out. Oftentimes in the Old Testament and even in lives today, prophets meddle to bring about fear or peace. They're wanting to say, everything's okay, you don't have to worry about anything. Or they're trying to make you afraid. They're kind of like the news media. They seem to have an agenda. And also the thing you need to watch out for prophets is when they teach false doctrine. Someone comes along and says they're here to lead you, they got a voice from God, and they are not quoting scripture, they're not following what God says, then there's a problem. You know, if I get up here and says, I'm here to tell you that I am supporting Donald Trump, and we want higher taxes, We want more social spending. We want to open the borders. How many believe I'm a spokesman for Trump? Okay, if I get up here and I say, I'm a supporter of Harris, and I believe we should close our borders, we should lower taxes, and we need to throw people out of Medicare. How many think I'm standing up for Harris? No, those aren't her points. One or the other, what's happening? If someone can say, oh yes, I'm supporting, I stand for so-and-so, but if their words don't line up, you know there's a problem. And if someone says, I speak for God, and their words contradict God's word, there's a problem here. There's a problem. There are a false prophet. Also, another way you can tell is if someone's giving a word or trying to lead you, seek God, seek Scripture. Does it line up with the word of God? Look at their character. Jesus said, by their fruits you should know them. If someone says, I'm here to serve God, and they're ripping off people, they're cheating on their wives, and they're lying on their taxes, nope. Jesus would say, don't listen to them. Also, sometimes people will say something's going to happen. You need to see if it plays out. Years ago, me and my wife were in a church service, and it was a charismatic church service, and we were there, and they're getting ready to do the altar call, and I felt God speak to my heart. At least I know now it was God. At that time, I was like, that can't be right. God said, leave. It's like, you don't leave in an altar call. Like, really, I should tell God what he should tell me to do. You don't leave during an altar call, God. Did that contradict Scripture? No. It was just normal courtesy. You don't leave during an altar call. God's like, leave. Like, no, I'm not leaving. It would be rude. Something in my heart saying, leave. Like, no, I'm not leaving. Well, this guy got up and started trying to say, I've got words from God, basically saying I'm a prophet. And he saw a young couple without any children. Pulled them out and says, you want children? Duh. Yeah. He prayed. He says, God told me you're going to have a child within a year. By the way, he was only off by 9 years. I'm thinking that. See how it plays out? I think we can mark this guy up. Sometimes just watch. Just watch. See how it plays out. And also seek godly counsel. If something sounds funny or sounds too good to be true, ask other Christians who serve God. We have an example. Actually, the Sanhedrin actually did this right one time. They were trying to figure out, the apostles had brought this word from God. They'd seen this miraculous healing. And they said, what do we need to do without this guy? This guy's preaching about Jesus. You know, we've just killed him not too long ago. They're making us look bad. Maybe we should just kill him. And Gamaliel came up and said, guys, if this is from God, it's going to go, nothing you can do to stop it. And if this isn't from God, it's going to fade. It's going to go away. Just let it go. Because if it is from God and you fight against it, you may be fighting yourself, fighting against God. And ultimately, someone who's giving a prophetic word is trying to call people back to God. If they're trying to call you to anything else, watch out. Because all of the ministries are there to get us stronger with God. And the prophet specifically is there to call us back to Him. Because sometimes in our lives, we get caught up with what's going on. and we forget. I was talking to Dale before service, and he was playing the song that he did at the preliminary today, that some of you may know, some may not, called Praise the Lord. It says, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams. And I won't read the whole song because I'll probably mess it up, and I don't want to do that. Dale will tell me afterwards, and I don't want to prove my ignorance. And then it says, in the midst of all this, praise the Lord. For God inhabits our praises. And when we praise Him, these things seem to fall apart. Sometimes we forget that. He pointed that out, and I made a comment. I says, yeah, but sometimes it's kind of like, I've been reading, as you know, those have been around, I've been reading a lot of stuff about World War II, that the Allies knew that they were supposed to be taking out the Nazis and taking out Germany. But when they were in a foxhole and the guy over the ridge was shooting at them, they weren't thinking about the big picture. They were thinking about the guy up there with a machine gun. And sometimes the prophet is saying, you need to look beyond the guy shooting at you to the bigger picture of what we're here for. And we need a word to remind us to come back, to focus on what's truly important. We also have something mentioned in Scripture that we don't often think about. The prophet calls people to come back in a relationship with God. We also have a position called the priest. This is usually in the Old Testament. And as I've mentioned before, the reason for the robes is to remind everybody that I'm just a priest. Not someone specific, not someone I am just one of. And that priest is designed to try to connect us in worship to God. A priest would, we think about the priest offering the sacrifices, but also they would offer songs, they would play instruments. Examples of priests are the Levites, of course, Isaac, Jethro, Melchizedek, and many others. Today, in some ways, we are all called to be priests. Because 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. If you're a Christian, God says, you're my special possession. I think about that, and I think about people when they get their newborn children. Most of the time, it's like, it's their special possession, their baby. Or the time when we adopted our oldest child, and it was official, and we took her out of the courtroom. It's like, you're our girl now. Well, she was anyway in our heart, but now legally, she was ours. She was our special possession. And God says, that's what you are to me. But you are called to declare His praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His light. See, priests are there to help draw people to God in worship, to connect people to God in worship. When you think of a priest, you might think of someone who participates or lead in worship. If I had to pick out a priest in here today, I might pick out anybody you know. Yeah, even our priest back there who plays the piano. Yes, they help lead in worship, help connect us to God. Oftentimes the artistics, they have the ability to just do things to connect people and connect people's feelings to God. The danger with someone who fills this role in the church is when, or when it's, I might say it grows wrong, is when people, it connects others to themselves. When you have a worship leader who's all about, look to me, And they're not learning and trying to connect people to God so much as to look at me. Also, the area where this can go wrong is where a priest tries to connect people to themselves. There's a big movement today. Just look within. Well, you look within, you might find something you don't like. It'll lead you wrong. Even secular psychologists will tell you, you can deceive yourself. And we're really good at that as human beings. So maybe we don't need to be connecting to ourselves. But when somebody uses music, uses the priestly role to connect people to themselves, they're missing it out. And ultimately, if someone's trying to connect you to another God, they're doing it wrong. As we look at these, like I said, some of you may say, well, I'm not a priest, I'm not a prophet. Well, like I said, in one sense, you are a priest if you're a Christian. Maybe you're not a prophet. I don't see a lot of them today, because even in the Old Testament, there weren't a lot of them. They were just raised up occasionally. Because God has given us His Word. But maybe God will use you in that role from time to time. Where God will say, you need to say something to somebody. Really? And you do, and all of a sudden you find out you said the right thing at the right time and helped them find direction that they did not have otherwise. But let yourself use what God has given you. Live into what God has called you to be. And remember, this is not about getting something for yourself. It's about sharing. It's about giving to others. Because here's the amazing thing that happens. When we give to others and they're giving to us, we all end up getting what we need. All the parts, as God talked about and through Paul, we're all part of this body that works together. And when every part does what it's supposed to, it's cool. It's amazing what that can happen. If you want some examples of that, watch some of the Olympics. I mean, wow, what some of these people can get their body to do. I was watching the high jump the other day, and they're like getting the pole, they're going up, and they're twisting over. It's like, I could kill myself doing that. But what are they doing? They're using everything in their body. They've trained it. And what it does is something that the rest of us can't do. And here's the thing. When the church does everything it's supposed to as a body, it can do things that others can't. It can do things that others will never be able to do. Why? Because everyone is doing their part. And therefore, we encourage and want to tell everyone, use what gifts you have. Use them. Share them. Because at the end of the day, we need them. We need greeters. We need people who are praying. We need people who will speak the truth. We need people who are priests and help connect people to God. We need all these parts to do their work so that we can be all God wants us to be. You say, I don't know what my gift is. Ask God. Yeah, or maybe just ask a friend. They might be able to tell you. What do you mean you don't have a gift? You do this all the time. You come in and you make sure everything's organized during a dinner. Or you clean up afterwards. By the way, I appreciate everyone who does that stuff. Every part, using what they have, makes things go well. And we can do great things together. So right now, God, I ask that you would reach down and bless each one here. Lord, show them the gifts that they have. And Lord, help them to fill those roles in the church. Be they short-term or long-term, Lord, you're in control. They're your gifts. We just ask you to use us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we could have our song leaders, our priests come forward. Let's sing together. That you bless your body as it goes forth today. Let it be a shining beacon to the world around. And Lord, touch those who are hurting. Walk with those who are in need. And help each of us supply what is lacking as we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless and go with God.